Tuesday night, we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Hope you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and we've got a short post-Sox game show to bring you tonight. I know the Sox lost another one, Andrea.
Oh, God.
I know.
Patty, stop the insanity.
I know. I think the Cubs are doing pretty well.
Yeah, they are.
And so I'm okay. I go Cubbies, and good luck Sox. You know,
that's right.
Keep trying.
We're
it's
all
baseball.
Encompassing.
It's not over till it's over, and then
listen
it's over.
To you positive.
Yeah, that's exactly.
PMA.
Yay! We have a meditation coach coming up at 11:30.
Okay, this is good.
Mm-hmm. Daryl Jones.
Yeah, and he's gonna especially talk to us about how to meditate in when we're in traffic or situations of that sort. Stressful situations.
Well, on your commute, but I don't know if it's specifically while you're actually driving your car. If you're operating a vehicle, I'm not entirely sure he's going to be suggesting complete meditation, but maybe he has some sort of routine that you can get into, because you had a lot of traffic today, didn't you?
Oh, I did. And I was coming in early to have dinner, and I was right in the middle of the rush, and our boss was texting me saying, hey, our boss is great. She does all of these like fun team building type activities. She said, hey, you're going to miss the squatting contest. That's where you lean up against
the squatting contest.
Is that what it's called?
I have
no idea. I was asking Esmeralda this too before, if it's like when you lean up against the wall and you just kind of bend down and you
Is this like an exercise so you can use public restrooms more efficiently?
Kind of.
I guess.
Or I think it's just
like
a show.
Hovering?
Well, then she said, are you going to be here? And I said, of course I politely said, maybe impolitely said, I am stuck in traffic and it's starting to pour rain right now.
Oh, did it rain while you were driving?
Yeah, it was raining because I was worried. I thought the White Sox game might be delayed, but it was not, obviously.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk to our good friend of the show. I know this is your first time meeting Representative Jaime Andrade. We're going to talk to him after the news about a situation that he encountered that I think is something that people don't really think much about. We'll talk about it when we come back, but there was a woman who used to come down on North Avenue Beach that everybody loved because she gave the lifeguards water, and she would also feed the pigeons on the beach, and which is sweet, but then you have a beach filled with, you know,
droppings. Yes.
So we're going to talk about that as not only a situation that's happening all over the city, but it is exacerbated by people who think they're doing something nice and then they get angry about it. And they got angry at Representative Andrade. And I want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to be listening to the Steve Cochran Show weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. And if you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Thank you so much for listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea, I think you've noticed that every once in a while when there's a story that comes up, I just go ahead and talk to the state reps or the state senators that are involved in those districts. And that's one of the great things about having gone down to Springfield, was getting to know how a lot of the men and women go about their day-to-day work, not only in Springfield, but also in their own communities. And do you know who your state rep is?
I do. You know, I just moved. It's interesting that you asked me that. And I always get on people. They should know that. I know Jan Schakowsky is my congresswoman. Mm-hmm. I think it's Raja. I think Raja.
Raja.
Christian Morthy.
Your state rep?
I gotta look it up.
Look at it. Representative Jaime is laughing. He's like, don't get it wrong,
you know,
with Patty.
It's so funny because I lived in the same spot for so many years.
You know, but granted, sir, there's a little change there, so that's why she might have not known, because it was Elaine Neckeritz probably up there.
Oh, McAuliffe.
She lives way north.
Oh.
And your state senator is John Mulroe.
Yes.
And they're good guys. And we should go sit in
They're all good guys.
Yeah. Well, we should go should go down and sit in the press box and watch the proceedings.
Oh, I've been a year, many, many, many years ago when when I was just a young reporter. We went down there quite a bit.
Right?
Oh, God, you come in every time you want.
The thing about watching the budget crisis and spending, I would say about 100 hours in the press box over 3 years was there were moments on the floor of the General Assembly that will stay with me, and one of them was with State Representative Jaime Andrade when you rose to speak about your family's experience in Chicago and working with unions how your parents were able to raise a family, buy a house, and how you wanted to make sure that other families had the same opportunities. And you are so invested in your community that I was not surprised to see that when you realized there was a situation going on at the blue line at Irving Park Road, you were out there yourself with your own power washer to help clear the sidewalk. So what's going on on Irving Park Road?
Clarify, it's not my power washer, but I did have
that's great.
Street and Sanitation's power washer.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We
I have my own power washer. Do you want to borrow it?
I might have to take you up on that because I have a lady who's on a mission from God, she told me.
And to power wash?
No, she is feeding the pigeons every day, 24/7.
What does she think is going to happen to the pigeons if she doesn't feed them?
They're going to die.
Okay.
They're going to die. She literally said, you know, I read an article that she did like in 2013 or 15. Because in the Sun Times, they did a ride along with her. She said the reporter said, this is like a lady who has, born activities. It's just incredible. So she has a mission. She does 100 pounds of rice a day.
Oh, my God. And I didn't think you're supposed to give birds rice.
That's what I heard.
Exactly.
I heard it's an urban myth. That's what I've been telling my friend. My Facebook was blowing up, and they're saying that's just urban myth.
And think about, too, that rice. I mean, the Greater Chicago Food Depository is always accepting donations. Not that, humans are more important than birds, but they kind of are. There's so many hungry families.
Trust me, I'll be very honest. I consider there's homing pigeons, and then there's pigeons that look like rats. These are rats.
There's a gentleman right by Channel 9. It's off of basically Irving in California, up in that area underneath the viaduct, and he does the same thing every Sunday morning, comes out with bags of food, and there are hundreds and hundreds of pigeons flying over, so that's the overpass, the train is there, there's cars, and inevitably the cars and the trucks get hit with the droppings.
And how long, so she's been doing this for years just this stop or various locations?
She actually has various stops all from Rogers Park, the whole northwest side.
Oh wow.
She does all downtown. It's a quite an operation. When I ran into her, the other guy comes out, he has a broom, he's sweeping the curb. I'm like, what is he doing? He's sweeping the curb. He grabs it. It's like they got down a sign. He runs out.
Right.
She's actually getting she picks up the bird crumbs. She doesn't want him to eat the bread. And so she picks up the bird crumbs, and then it's crazy. So she picks, because the other person dropped it off, she drew it up. But as she's getting the bags of rice to throw them out the same spot, he's out there shoveling the curb, and I'm like, what is he shoveling the curb for? But I just figured out, it took me a couple of hours afterwards, but he shovels the curb to clean the curb, and then he pours clean water in an area that they already know the water will stay stagnant.
Oh, so they can drink water?
Right. So they provide water and rice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Again, there are so many families. Not that they're all going to eat breadcrumbs and water.
Well, where your concerns lie is with the pigeons of Chicago.
It's insane. She says, she explains the whole thing in the Tribune article. Or sometimes she explains it, says one day she saw these 500 pigeons, and she had an enlightenment, and it was she realized it was her mission from God to make sure they're fed every day. Now here,
oh my gosh.
The thing is, she is causing a situation all over the city. I understand if someone just feeds a pigeon one day or something.
Right, or feeds like pancakes, and I feed birds pancakes yard.
But we can send them to your yard. You're going to have you're gonna have a new birdhouse and everything.
I know, right?
So let's
And this is not here. This is, we had Alderman Vajekis tried to introduce an ordinance just recently to put the homing pigeons, I guess, for the racing pigeons.
Oh.
Because I remember when I...
Channel 2 did a piece on those pigeons.
So my thing is, I worked for an alderman for 20 years, and so I enjoy the local politics and getting my hands dirty and going out there. One lady, one of my volunteers went to the house, she said, Andrade, absolutely, I'm voting for that guy. He says, 15 years ago, he was here at my house. I called the office, and he said, I have a dead squirrel in my backyard. You know what? Instead of complaining, Andrade said I'd be over there in a few minutes. I went and picked up the dead squirrel, put it, and she goes, "He can vote. I'll vote for him anytime."
Wow.
He gets in there and takes care of it.
You're right.
Well, and it must be a health hazard to be covering the sidewalks with bird droppings. And then you also have another situation arising, too, isn't there, with the rats?
The rats. After I was there, on the video, there's actually I show all the rats coming after the pigeons left.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yep.
So the rats are coming out. But it's not just that. We just literally went behind the fences, and the bird poop was almost a few inches thick, and it was just crazy. And it's so there's a couple of people have posted all the carcinogens that are actually in the bird poop that after it sits for a while, and then when it's really hot in summer, when the sun is
it bakes it,
and then when the sun is out there, what happens is it dries it up, and then the wind comes, and then when you're walking, when you get off the metro stop, so everyone from Irving Park Metro that's going to the Cubs game, they get off, and this is what they see in the city. They get off, they're waiting for the bus stop, but as they're walking there, they're walking through bird poop on their shoes. They're going to take this to their home.
Yeah.
They're going to, they're actually breathing it in their cars. And so when you're walking in, you see the bird poop in the air, and you could smell it, and you breathe it.
Oh, my God. So it's a respiratory danger.
Oh, absolutely. The CDC,
for asthma.
I was just going to say, the CDC has listed, and everything that you're saying is in there, especially in this area with allergies, respiratory diseases, yeast, fungus infections, and a huge course of E. coli as well.
Yes. I didn't even think about that.
And salmonella.
It's crazy. It's just
because it can be spread by the rats and the pigeons.
We literally, you know, I power washed. I was out there Monday morning, and we went back at midnight at 12 o'clock because I wanted to do a certain by the columns in front of the because you can't do it during when they're out there. So we did it at midnight. I wanted to do the columns in front of the Blue Line station, and it was this thick. It was just, you know, this thick. I actually requested a meeting with the governor, and the staff you want to meet with the governor? I said, yes, this is my community. I said, I need IDOT to help me because they're not helping me. And he's chief administrator. I said, when I have an issue, I go all the way to the top.
Right.
So Iris Martinez is like, you're...
And they laughed at you?
They did. I said, I'm carrying one of his bills. You laugh at me, I'm going to table his bill.
Wow.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, a little bit of sportsmanship
I said, because they call and they cancel my meeting. I said, no problem. I said, table the bill.
Oh, and did you? I mean,
no, I didn't.
They came.
Now it reached the staff. Because staff's like, you really want bird poo? Bird poo?
I got it.
Right.
Yeah, I said bird poo, and I was like, yes, because my community.
Because it's a health hazard, and it's what your constituents are asking for you to do.
Yeah. I go door to door, and I know people are thinking, "Oh, I'm wasting all this time," but. Here, we have thousands and thousands of people daily.
Oh, yeah, but you have
daily. Because from Cubs game, the Metro Blue Line.
Yes.
People come from all over to get their Blue Line.
Well, plus you also have students will be coming soon.
Right, that's me.
It'll still be warm.
Right.
Well, and you have kids that maybe, because when I went to Lane Tech, we would sometimes either get off at Irving or Belmont to avoid all the density at Addison. So then you're going to have a lot of kids going through there as well.
We have Disney, too, because this the issue... is actually a few blocks. It's not just Irving Park. I actually have, it's almost like five blocks that I'm working on right now. Five, six blocks. Because it's Pulaski. Because they have, there's a Blue Line stop. The Irving Park Blue Line has a Pulaski exit. Mm-hmm. I got Pulaski, Irving, and Keeler. All is full of bird poop.
Oh, wow.
I mean, just the bird feces. Just all over the place.
We are pooping you. We got. We're talking State Representative Jaime Andrade from the 40th District. We'll continue our conversation when we come back. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. If you want to join the conversation, of course, you're always welcome to 312-981-7200. You can call or text us to the same number, 312-981-7200. More in a moment. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Joining us in studio is the state representative for the 40th District. And as he was out late or early, would you consider that late or early when you were out to power washing?
I would say that day I was out all in the morning.
It was early in the morning?
Night. I was out the whole day. It was a whole day session, probably a 16-hour day.
So you're power washing the sidewalk area outside the Blue Line stop where a lot of Cubs fans either walk from the Metro station, obviously a lot of fans coming from south and north on the Blue Line. So you've got probably thousands of people there on any given day.
Sox fans listening are probably like, they deserve to watch this.
No. And the picture you just showed me?
Yes. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you've been going out there repeatedly trying to power wash, trying to keep it clean, doing your, I mean, but how much can you do and how much can the community do to stay on top of this if you have a woman who's going out there every day feeding bags and bags of brown rice? She's blowing right through the fines. You said she's paid over $3,000.
Yeah, I was told she paid already a $3,000 fine before she's been arrested. And no one realistically expects her to be locked up forever creating this. Cause, I mean, there's just, we can't even get people to get arrested for stealing or arm jacking, let alone
right, you know, feeding the pigeons. I know pigeons. It sounds crazy, right. But no. She's creating a health hazard here.
Huge health hazard. And the cost is just astronomical. The pigeon poop is actually rusting all the Vidoc areas. It's actually rusting the chains, the links. I mean, it's causing complete damage to all the property. The pigeons would not be out there if they didn't have a food supply constantly every right. day.
Well, even we used to work at Tribune. Do you remember there was that sound of a predatory bird?
Yes, yes.
I wonder. I mean, it probably won't help because she's feeding them. But what they would do is they had this the speaker set up so that for on motion so that it would drive away the pigeons. It was a predatory sound of another bird,
right?
Because people don't want. It's not safe to have.
Right.
So absolutely. Yeah, they had actually one of the security guards thought it was. He was so cute. He said, "Is that a peacock?"
Oh,
and I said, no, that's the sound system that they had. And, you know, I guess it helped.
Yeah. It did. It does help. It does help. They have, I believe McCormick Place does that. You know, they have, but it all is temporary.
Yes.
All of it is
because
temporary.
Because she keeps coming back.
Right. And they finally get used to it.
Yeah.
They get used to the sound. They get used to the replica, falcons, everything. So I don't know. I've had, people have talked about, There's you create lofts and you actually hijack the eggs and take them somewhere else.
What?
Yeah. There's or areas
for relocation.
For relocation.
Okay.
You create the lofts and you just go and steal the eggs and relocate them. There's been people, let's set up a falcon nest underneath. There's right now I'm waiting for approval from IDOT. IDOT Environmental Department is going to look at us. It's not a chemical. It's actually a natural substance. It's called Bird Stop. But IDOT doesn't want me to spray it because I said, listen, either you guys cooperate or I'm going to be spraying myself there.
Right.
I said, because if you want to arrest me, go ahead. Wow. I said, arrest me.
Right. There's a difference between a couple of pigeons and this is just a swarm, if you will.
Oh, it's a swarm.
And the picture. I wonder, it's too bad we can't. Do you have that picture on a Facebook page or maybe for the.
Oh, he's got the whole video. Rolled up to clean the sidewalks.
Because truly, you guys, it looks like, you know, graffiti on the sidewalk.
Yeah. And he's also got video of rolling up. He's about to clean the sidewalks and he's telling the woman to stop feeding the pigeons and she starts yelling at him and cussing at him. And yeah, it's a very strange situation. But as a state rep, as somebody who's working in the community, it must take a lot of patience to kind of wade through. Right now, with just this situation alone, you're working with the CTA, IDOT, the state agencies, the city agencies, Metra. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people to be contacting to
it is.
Be communicating to, with. Yeah.
They all want to point fingers. And right. I said, listen, guys, I've been dealing with, you know, this 20 years with all this bureaucracy. Either you guys figure it out, I'm going to take stuff in my own hands. I said, because I'm not going to. The community wants is done.
Right.
You know, we can't just stop pointing fingers like, well, it's below the highway. I have one situation that right now they're telling me, well, it's the Vidoc, but we put this fence up and you put up that fence. And so even though it's the Vidoc, these 4 feet don't belong to us. It belongs to the city.
Oh, brother,
and this, right. We only go from this chain link. I said, you're telling me that's like saying that my toes belong to the city and my foot belongs to IDOT. I mean, it makes no sense to me. I said, I can't, you know what, guys, either you're out there and open up the locks to get us in, or I have a master key lock and I'm going to open them all up.
And that's because behind that fence is where that the inches and layers of caked on bird never, droppings, right?
Right. And so we had to literally, so we did, we first shoveled it off. And then we put it in bags. We picked up that, because it hasn't been cleaned forever in the back, that location, because we did 40 bags of bird
droppings.
Okay.
Wow.
40
I
bags.
I hate to make this comparison, and it's maybe this kind of comparison on a lighter level, if you will, but someone's walking their pet, and there are laws all throughout the city of Chicago. You know, the pet, the dogs can't, mm-hmm. you know, right. use a certain area, or there's designated areas, and they have to pick it up with their with the little bag. You can get a ticket if you don't do it. It really it's the same thing, maybe on a smaller level, and it becomes a health hazard. That's the problem.
It's bigger. So they tried the netting. They tried the netting, but the problem was the netting. All it did was the pigeons figured out, and they used the nettings just as a hammock. They put their nests in that, and then some of the hammock, and then some of the pigeons that were dead. Would start riding through. They would die on the netting, and they're just riding through, and would be up there for months. Because I'm going to DePaul now, but that's how I go to school. I take the blue line, and I come home. And I'm like, it's the same pigeon there for like. You know, right. I'm going to have a doctorate degree by the time he rots out.
Do you ever see the used to do the spikes, you know, or the nails, and then at the Tribune Tower they did that pig. They would have you know the spikes, and I would see the pigeons sitting on them.
Yes,
yeah, like, they're not daunted by that.
No,
there's a couple people who say that if you remove the shelter, you remove the problem, but it's a viaduct.
It's a viaduct. Yeah,
you're not going to be removing
the 1994.
A major chunk of the Kennedy Expressway needs to be removed because the pigeons have become a nuisance. I don't think that's the way that works.
No,
so
no.
There is no way around that. I've always thought too. We do have a situation in Chicago, and I know this is also Alderman Arena's ward.
And he's working very, very closely on this. He has been working on this, him and his staff. We're working as a team.
Some of our viaducts are just nasty between the bird droppings and bad lighting. And I know that he was trying to do something over on Milwaukee Avenue near the Jefferson Park Hub to add lighting to that because people don't really, I mean, you feel like you're in this sort of underworld. It's worse than Lower Wacker.
I believe they're changing the LA to LEDs. Now, if the city's listening, I believe that you need to add more power washing trucks. Just like they added more tree trimming trucks, graffiti trucks, they added more. You have to add more power washing trucks. It's a no-brainer. I mean, people will notice immediately, oh my God, they're actually working.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain things that you don't want to mess with. People, snow, you know, their garbage.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you start, everyone complains about these viaducts. So I hopefully the mayor's listening or his staff is listening. Let's add.
Show?
Right. Yeah.
Let's add. Oh, I remember. I just remembered that. Yeah. Let's hope.
We need to mend fences.
But here I get along pretty well with everyone and with the mayor. And the mayor's.
Me too. He just doesn't take my phone calls.
The
anymore.
Streets and Sanitation Department. Has been overwhelmingly bending over backwards to try to help us out.
Yeah. Is there any way that people who live in Chicago who are having the situation, should they call the city? Should they call the Streets and Sands? Someone said that there should be a police officer. She's doing it every day, but you already mentioned that she's paying the
fines.
She's
paying the fines.
She doesn't care.
She doesn't care. Yeah. She does not care. We're not going to be able to change her mind, and I don't find any. They're not going to lock her. So they believe, you know, there is. They believe there is some mental health issues.
Sure. But she has the funds. If she's paying the tickets, she's paying the funds. Again, maybe sponsor a family. You know, there's a lot of families that need sponsoring right now.
No, she's all about the birds.
There's homeless. There's the Greater Chicago Food Depository.
She feels like the birds are her mission. We have to figure this out. We are hanging out with Representative Jaime Andrade. I have good news for you. This seems like a very stressful situation, and we happen to have a meditation expert coming in just a moment. It's not because it's for all of us, but I think that you could probably benefit from that as well. Let's take a quick break here and then the news, and we're going to check in with our friend Daryl Jones from Chill in a moment on 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And in the last several weeks, we have had a schedule change where we are now living different lives. And more so for Andrea, I think that you are now coming in at night rather than getting up early in the morning. But both of us are encountering something we never had before, which is a long commute.
Oh.
My drive used to be 20 minutes. It's now an hour 15. Yeah.
And if I made it in 19 minutes, that was a good day. If I make it in less than an hour, I'm happy.
See, exactly.
Weird?
No. And if I don't get trapped, there are times when I just think about giving up.
Oh, I do too.
There was one time I thought about abandoning my car on Lower Wacker because I had been trapped in the same spot for 20 minutes.
Right.
And then the Chicago Tribune today put out a piece by Morgan Smith, talked to some experts in Chicago about how to maybe address that through maybe some conscious approaches and mindfulness. And one of the people that jumped out at me in this piece was Daryl Jones, who is the general manager of Chill. I called and he whose voice was so mellow on the phone, Andrea, I felt better immediately.
When he just walked in and shook my hand, I thought, oh, I'm calmer.
Yes.
Happier.
So first, before we address what we can do in traffic, let's talk a little bit about meditation, because I also think Representative Andrade could benefit maybe from some mindfulness, as we all could,
and dealing
with specific stressful situations. How did you become involved in teaching people how to meditate?
Sure. My personal path was stress. I had stress in my life, and it was actually divorce, and I didn't know what I was doing or what to do, and found myself kind of in a crisis of understanding what my life was about. And all of the reading that I did, whether it was self-help books or personal psychology, I ended up going through more of a spiritual route.
Really?
But everything pointed to this idea of self-awareness as the way that you empower yourself to choose and move forward. And so I fast forward to 2012. I graduated with a master's in consciousness studies, where I reviewed lots of different things religiously, psychologically, philosophically, and scientifically based, looking at our consciousness. And consciousness is about being aware. And the fundamental practice around the world that people do in various different forms and styles is meditation.
And you probably encounter a lot of people who go, oh, I wish I could, or I don't have time, or what I told you on the phone tonight is the more I try to relax, the more stressed I get.
Sure.
As though I'm like, okay, now I'm not relaxed. Now I should relax. I should relax now.
Right.
And do you encounter people like
absolutely.
Me? Yeah.
One of the biggest things that we do is we should all over ourselves, right? I should be relaxed, and it's supposed to look a certain way. If you think about a spring or a if you turn it and turn it and turn it, it gets tight, and eventually it gets to a point where it pops, right? It can't hold that tightness and tension any longer. A lot of us do that, and we think, I can't stop for a minute and let any of the stress out. I've got to keep going. The challenge is that if we don't do that, we will pop at some point. That's when we have those breakdowns in our life.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Yeah. And if I get super stressed, I'll have friends or family or people I'm very close to say, you shouldn't be stressed, and then reason why I shouldn't be stressed. And they're absolutely right. You know, they'll say, hey, look on the bright side. You have this, 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 and this going for you, or whatever, you know, but I'll get caught up in my own head. So how do you get out of your own head? Because everything they're saying and everything you're saying, you know, right now I'm saying you're absolutely right. But tomorrow morning I'll wake up and go, oh, can you believe the traffic? Or I'll text Patty, you know, I can't believe this happened, you know.
Right.
How do you stay in that? In that mindset.
So it's probably not the answer that you want. Don't get out of your head. You can't.
Right. You have to go in. You have to actually go in your head and be mindful.
Yeah.
One of the things I try to remember, I went to a place called Kripala, which is it's a yoga retreat in the Adirondacks. And the one thing I remember, there's so many great meditation leaders and instructors. But the one thing, and maybe this will help Andrea, is that when you do think of something, you have to go, oh, there's a thought, and then let it go.
Yes.
Instead of like fighting the thoughts, and you end up just fighting all the time, don't you?
One of the analogies that I like to give is if you were to go stand out right now, well, maybe not right now, but during the day on Lakeshore Drive or out on the Edens, and you were to stand right at the yellow line, traffic's moving by really fast, right? 70 miles per hour, if not faster, regardless of what it says on the speed limit on the sign. Mm-hmm. And if you were to keep your body right at the edge, you're constantly going to be flinching because you're afraid you're going to get hit, and you're probably going to start sweating, and viscerally your body's going to be reacting to that traffic all the time. To keep yourself there, it's going to take physical, mental, and emotional prowess, and eventually you're just going to be exhausted. However, if you were just to step back 10 feet, 15 feet, all of a sudden the traffic hasn't changed, but you have a different relationship with it. And you can go, oh, wow, that's the car I saw in the commercial. I want to test drive that. And so nothing has changed, but other than your relationship with the traffic. That's what we attempt to do in meditation. So it's not about turning the mind off, getting out of your head. It's cultivating, and that's a very important word, cultivating a practice and a relationship with what is natural in the mind. To think, to worry, to get angry, to get upset, to get excited, to get overexcited, to feel sleepy. All of those things. So to sit in traffic on your way into work, and it's like, wow, this is going to take me an hour and 20 minutes. I'm really angry. You can't get away from that because you're angry, and it's not going to all of a sudden magically get shorter. However, you can do some sort of practice, even in the car with your eyes open, to begin to
What's
that?
Because
once you
accept it, you accept, okay, it's going to be an hour and 20 minutes. It just is. And then practice the exercises to kind of help you get through it.
Right. Okay. Absolutely. Getting present. So mindfulness, that particular word, is paying attention on purpose in the present moment in a particular way.
Unless someone's behind you in traffic honking at you. And
waving. Hey, look at us. We're in the same place.
Yes.
But that perspective should be that, oh, look, we're in it together.
And I thought of that when I saw you, Patty, and I were stuck in rush hour traffic trying to get here for an interview that we were doing together. And I'm voice texting her saying I'm running late. She said, oh, me too. And then I see beep beep beep, and you were smiling and waving, and at that moment I was happy. I thought, oh good, we are in this together.
There are different ways. I think of it as tricking myself into being happy, but then that's probably not a good band-aid either.
I like that you said tricking yourself into being happy. A lot of the studies around happiness, what the at least the psychological reports are showing, is that happiness is only about being present. The reason that most of us are unhappy is we're thinking about something else other than what we're actually doing, right?
Yes.
So when we're driving in traffic, we're like, oh my God, I got to get there. Oh my God, I got to get there. Oh my God, I got to get there. And then you get to the place and you're like, oh my gosh, I got to get back there. I got to get back there. I got to get back there. Or if you're going to work, you're thinking about going home to be with your family. Or for your family, then, oh crap, I can't think about that thing that I forgot to do at work. So we're constantly moving our attention away from where we actually are. And it's a great tendency. That's how we plan. But if we're constantly in that space, it's very stressful.
So should you distract yourself too? So I have a friend who lives in LA now, from Chicago, and she called me on the drive today. So I talked with her for about a half an hour. So should we distract ourselves every time we know we're going to be in a stressful situation?
But that's not distracting yourself. You were driving, having a great conversation with your friend.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's being in the moment. You're being present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the particular way that you were paying attention.
Yeah.
I know. He's very calming.
Yeah.
He was delightful when I called and I asked him to come on the show tonight. He's like, okay, you know, I'm heading into class right now, so let me return the call afterwards and figure out how we're going to do that. I was like, okay, let's do that. That sounds really
okay.
Cool. I want to go do some of your classes.
Allman's office should probably take
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, you should.
Even if State Rep, not as much. State Rep, they email us more, but Allman's office, every Allman's office should go to your class.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Well, we're gonna talk some more about some tips, some ideas, some things you can implement if you're listening right now, whether it's when you're driving or trying to go to sleep or how to be more mindful. We're talking to Daryl Jones. He's the general manager of Chill, which is at 222 West Kinzie.
West Kinzie, yes.
Excellent.
Right across from the merchandise
bar. And the website?
ChillChicago.com.
ChillChicago.com. We also have Representative Jaime Andrade in studio. He is the state representative. Don't you feel more calm now, too, about the bird poop?
His voice is very calm.
I'm saying. We are going to continue our conversation when we come back. If you have questions about meditation, give us a call or text us at 312-981-3200. Is that right? 981-7200. 7200. What number am I giving out? 312-98. I'm not being mindful, Daryl. 312-981-7200. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Do you hear people talking about meditation? You think, that's too touchy-feely. That just sounds too weird and, you know, too new agey for me. There are studies that prove that this is not just a new age, weird, hippy-dippy-do thing. It actually can affect your health. We are talking to Daryl Jones. He's the general manager of Chill Chicago. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and Representative Jaime Andrade joined us in studio. And the piece that came out in the Chicago Tribune talks a little bit about meditating when you're on the train.
Yeah.
We were about to talk a little bit about some of the things, other tips you have for Andrea and for me when we're in the car while we have our eyes open, and things that we can sort of do to sort of change our perspective.
Right.
Because we can't change our situation.
So in any meditation practice, the most important thing is breathing. And I would say most of us don't really breathe well. We breathe shallow. So our lung capacity is not used. And in that, we don't get enough oxygen to the brain. We don't get enough oxygen into the body. So if we were all to just take a deep breath in right now, there would be, if we had heart rate monitors, things would start to shift. Our blood pressure would drop. And you may feel just a little bit of space around your heart and just awareness in your head. So I always say that meditation is just one breath. So that we just meditated. We consciously took a breath.
Nice. Wonderful.
And we were present. Stringing a bunch of those breaths together is a meditation practice. That may last 2 minutes. It may last an hour. It could last a whole weekend, depending, you know, if you go on a retreat. But what it looks like in the real world, sitting on a train with some guy snoring next to you on the way to work, is simply just breathing and being present. You can do it with headphones on and listen to music. That's what I tend to do.
Right.
Usually music that doesn't have words so that I'm not caught into a story of that's being told, but just listening to sounds and allowing those sounds to just be the pleasant thing that I give my attention to. So it's really about what am I going to give my attention to and choosing it. Most of the time, our attention is being pulled by something and we're powerless to it. Meditation is an active practice, an active exercise of choosing where you're placing your attention. So on a train, on a commute, it's not about closing your eyes. It's about saying, okay, on the train or in this traffic, what am I going to give my attention to? Am I going to sit here and continue to freak out for another hour and a half because things aren't moving the way I want them to? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to call my friend and have a pleasant conversation?
Right, right.
Or maybe I'm going to turn things off in terms of noise in the car. I'm just going to roll down the window and see if there's some sounds outside that are pleasant. Maybe I can hear a bird and just breathe and be present with that.
Should you think about how to resolve a situation, maybe a work situation, or should you think of, you know, usually
you
it's
could.
Think of something that makes you happy,
yeah.
like a vacation that you recently took or something.
So there's ways of meditating that are called contemplative or contemplation, right? But it's less about trying to fix something or figure something out. It's usually more asking questions and being inquisitive. So maybe if there is a challenge in your life, you could just say, what am I not seeing? And just kind of asking yourself, what am I not understanding?
I
want to
write that down.
A friend, you know, Daphne.
I really do.
Daphne, who was here last night. Maybe
Daphne
you,
Scott. I know her.
Okay.
Yes.
You just freaked me out. So Daphne talks about when, so she had to walk me through a situation a couple years ago, and I was dealing with somebody who was just so angry all the time, and she goes, look, he's telling himself a story, and there's nothing you can do about that. And then I realized, you know, she's like, now think about the times when you're, what story are you telling yourself? What is actually happening, but what are you telling yourself? You're, you know, all the scary things, and when we're worried about things at work, what stories are we telling ourselves? Mm-hmm. And so when he's talking about should you work through a work problem, a lot of those during meditation for me, I can't, because then I start thinking of all the different stories. And
sure.
Why does that person do that? Or, you know, what does that mean? And it becomes what story I'm telling myself.
Yeah.
You're freaking me out that you know Dr. Yeah. Scott.
That's really just, cool, though. That's great advice.
On my drive to Springfield, I just started doing book on tapes.
Yeah.
And I found that when I really like a book, I turn it on. Next thing you know, I'm in Springfield, mm-hmm. and that's helped me clear up my mind, because my Siri sometimes cannot pick up my voice, so I can't make phone calls. So I had to find something else.
Time to meditate before we go to the news or to the break. I had a question for you, Daryl. Hey, Guy, how are you doing?
Good, Patty. Thanks for taking the call.
Of course.
I'm bipolar, and I want to know what he thinks about the relationship with meditation as to hypnosis, and because I'm a big believer in hypnosis, and I'm searching for a way to get off these meds, and I don't feel any better with the meds anyway, so
sure.
Can you talk to that a little bit?
Sure. Well, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to say, you know, get off your meds. But what I do know is that the practice of meditation partnered with lots of things can benefit anyone. If you look at any of the research of Jon Kabat-Zinn, Z-I-N is his last name, he's kind of the grandfather of the modern day mindfulness movement. And he did a lot of research looking at pain patients and other psychologically challenged patients at how meditation and mindfulness can help them be in relationship with their pain, whether it be emotional or physical, and it allowed them to talk to their doctor and be in relationship to shifting their medication if they so chose to.
Guy, we have to take a break, and we will talk more about this after the news. I hope that helps a little bit. Thank you so much for calling. We'll talk to you again soon. More in a moment on 720 WGN. The Chicago Tribune's Morgan Smith wrote a piece today about how to make your commute more healthy, really. And one of the experts that contributed to this piece actually said that if you're having a lot of chatter or loudspeakers in the train, figure out a way to incorporate them into your mindfulness. I don't know if someone's having a conversation, Daryl Jones from mm-hmm. Chill Chicago, if someone's having a like loud one-way conversation, you can't hear the other, like people are annoyed by that. How do
sure.
you incorporate that into your mindfulness?
Well, I think it's a lot about attempting to not push things away. Mm-hmm. It's just what's happening. And the angst that happens when we try to deny what's actually there, that's where it's challenging. So the other day I was on a train and there was this little girl and her brother just kept doing silly stuff to make her laugh. And it was cute for about 10 seconds.
I know.
Okay, good. Wait, you're saying you get annoyed too?
Oh, I totally get annoyed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
No, I would too. And I love kids.
Yeah.
I've been meditating for 15 years and I get annoyed every day.
Okay.
So I'm still, I go through all of the normal human emotions that everyone else does, but I just have a different relationship with them. I don't let them hijack me. That's, if you've ever heard the word emotional intelligence, that's what's being referenced there, is that people that are not emotionally intelligent, they're being hijacked by their emotions all the time. Those are the people that overreact in situations that it's like, what just happened inside of you? Because that doesn't
warrant. I see that on the house floor a lot.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't warrant what just happened. Like, okay, yes, that was annoying, but you just went somewhere else. You took it to 60 miles per hour. So this little kid just kept laughing and laughing and laughing. It was cool for about 10 seconds. And then I was just like, okay, you can bring that volume down to about 2 instead of 15. And they just kept going and kept going and kept going. And then I realized, you know what? It's a 9-year-old kid just having fun on the train with their family. I'm not going to change that.
Right. And the moment will be over soon.
And it will.
This is a moment. There'll be another moment.
Yeah.
You know, so this, I have to deal with this one first and get to the next one.
Yeah.
That's sometimes the way I deal with it. By the way, there's a listener from the 301. This is so weird. I'd fallen asleep before your guest came on, and I was in deep dream sleep, but the conversation penetrated my sleep, and I dreamt I was at the station being involved in the conversation. And then I woke up, and I could tell what you all were talking about, and it matched what I was dreaming. It's freaky. But you were talking about not using something that has a story being told to you when you're trying to meditate. Mm-hmm. I do fall asleep to TV shows. Am I doing something bad to my brain?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily doing something bad to your brain, but you're not really resting.
Yeah.
You know, if we're constantly being engaged in stories and things are firing neurologically that we don't want to fire, then we're not resting.
Okay.
That's kind of to go along with that too. Always, and I know this is probably wrong, we are so tuned into our phones. Mm-hmm. I'll check one right before I go to bed, one more round of texts, one more emails, just to see, you know, if we missed anything. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe play a quick words with friends. That's not good, right? That's more stimulation.
It's more stimulation. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of studies that are showing, and suggestions are being made to, like, cut yourself off 30 minutes, if not an hour, before you actually want to go to sleep from any sort of screen activity. And then in the morning, in terms of, like, not just falling back into it, try to stay away from the screen for 30 minutes to an hour. We have a class at Chill that's called Rest for that very purpose. It's our last class on Monday and Wednesday nights, where people are encouraged and guided to lay down on their back, and it's a guided relaxation. You may or may not fall asleep. It's more about just giving yourself and your muscles the memory of what it actually feels like to just relax and rest, because most of us don't give ourselves that even when we're trying to fall asleep.
Do you have suggestions on how much time people should, when they're just thinking about carving out time in their day to meditation?
Yeah. So if you had some other people on the panel that were teachers, they may argue a different way.
Well, we didn't bring them in.
We didn't bring them
in. You're the expert. Yes.
So what I have found is that people that don't have any relationship at all with meditating, I invite them to only do a minute or two at a time.
Oh, see, that's doable.
Oh, that is.
Because I like to use, you know, storytelling and analogies a lot. If you've never exercised before and you go into the gym and you try to pick up 200, 300, or 400 pounds, probably, one, you're not going to do it. Two, if you do, you're probably going to strain yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go and meditate and try to do it for 45 minutes, you're not going to hurt yourself. But the likelihood that you're going to show up and do another practice after having never done it before, and you just kind of like grin and grit through those 45 minutes, it's pretty low. The goal is to start cultivating a practice. Yeah. So you do a minute, you do 2 minutes, and you're successful. And you just say, yes, I did that. I can totally do that. And do that for a month. It doesn't, you know, like, give yourself the gift of letting that be successful.
I try 1 second exercise.
Yeah?
I had the gastric bypass, and the psychologist, part of it, said, I don't care if you work out. I want you to promise me when you're in the hotel, you're going to go downstairs, at least go downstairs, step on the treadmill and walk away.
Yeah.
He says, I at least want you to do 1 second. He goes, if you're not going to work out, I promise me that you're going to go downstairs, step on the treadmill and go back upstairs. He said at least.
A great technique, something you can employ tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay? So I want you to close your eyes for a minute and picture your front door, wherever you leave your home.
I'm doing it right now.
Yes, do it right now.
Okay.
See that doorknob? Mm-hmm. And if you have not taken at least 3 deep breaths before leaving your home, let that be a trigger for you tomorrow. So you see that doorknob, you touch it, and before you open the door, take a deep breath in and out, and do that 3 times in a row. That's the beginning of a meditation practice. Like I said, it only takes 1 breath to meditate. A practice is putting a bunch of them in a row. If you only do 3 breaths and that's your meditation practice for the day, that's awesome.
For married couples, I think actually going into the house might work the door. Right.
Before you get home.
Before I get inside. Right.
That's really funny.
Awesome. I love that. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Do you brush your teeth?
Yeah.
How many times a day?
Usually 3.
Okay. Why?
Well, in the morning when you get up, mm-hmm. night before you go to bed, and then before I come in here, you know, I'll take a shower, brush my teeth.
But why do you do it?
It's routine.
But
because you know it's good
fresh
for your
breath, and yeah.
So
you don't get decay.
So you don't get decay. So it's something about oral health. You do it because you know it's going to sustain some level of health in your mouth.
Right.
What do you do every day, 2 to 3 times a day, to benefit and strengthen and maintain your mental and emotional well-being?
God, that's perfect.
Yeah. Nothing, apparently.
I know.
And most people I know don't spend more than a minute or two brushing their teeth.
Right.
And that maintains some health. So what if you apply that same principle to meditation and just did a couple of minutes a day, a couple of times a day, and just let that be something that starts to begin to shift your relationship with your entire life, but in particular, the stresses in your life.
Should you do the 3 breaths before you go to bed, too?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to do it tonight.
You know, Michael Heidemann, who's off tonight, uses an app called Mindset.
There's so many.
Yeah, there's some apps. So some people feel as though maybe they have, like, I'm using an app right now, Jaime, for running. Mm-hmm. And they tell you that I've done day 1 6 times now.
Yeah.
But it's because it's because of what you're talking about is, you know, it doesn't feel like a chore to me. It feels like, okay, this is something manageable. And every time I do it, I'm up to 4 miles now. Not running. It's running and walking.
That's okay.
It's alternating. Yeah. But, you know, 2 weeks ago I was doing 0. So that's something. So I think you're right. If you do a minute, if you do a minute every day for a month, you feel like, okay, I can devote time to this. But you're also correct. If it's 45 minutes, I'm like, okay, I gotta go do this for 45 minutes. Yeah. It feels like a chore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If nothing else, the only takeaway that you all take and the listeners take tonight is that to just take a few conscious breaths, to really just feel the air move in and out, that's the beginning of a meditation practice. And there's no way to really do that right or wrong. You just do it. I always say the only wrong way to meditate is not meditate, because people think they have to understand something or come to terms with something before they start practicing, and you really don't. It's just a breath in and a breath out.
Oh, Lola, our friend Lola from the 847 says, when you get really depressed, you'll sleep as much as you want. Oh, Lola, but what can we tell Lola if people are battling with something that, you know, if it's depression?
Sure.
Ways to meditate. Because I know Lola has chimed in several times on our show.
Yeah. You know, so depression, there's so many different levels to it. I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, so I don't want to, like,
say this is a bandage for anything. Right.
Right. But the thing is that I don't ever want to say that meditation is a bandage for anything.
Right.
But it's something that supports us with everything. It puts us in powerful relationships. So I get depressed. I'm human. Just mm-hmm. like I get annoyed by the little kid on the train, I have moments where I'm just like, what in the world am I doing with my life?
Right.
Who am I and why am I here? I'm not doing anything. I'm just a speck on the
planet. You do that too?
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
And one of the specific meditations that I like to do are what are called affirmations. Lots of different traditions use them, but it's just affirming. So in terms of thinking about our neurology, when we're in a depressive state, we're in the story of telling ourselves something negative. So to shift our consciousness, to shift our awareness to, I am positive, I am okay, I do appreciate who I am, even though I don't like the decision I just made, I am a good person, even though I'm not, you know, working in the job that I want. I am a great person, even though my relationship isn't going the way I am. I am fundamentally good. and to affirm that to yourself, you may not solve all the problems of your world, but in that moment, mm-hmm. in those moments where our depression starts to pull us down, it's a little bit of a buoy to pull us up.
Right. And we need those.
We do. We really, so really true. Need those.
And I was telling, and I talk about this when I give presentations. I have a company called With Kind Words, and there it's really hard for parents, and I think this is true for anybody, but it's hard for parents to look at themselves and say, I'm doing a good job, because we see other parents who can give their kids everything they want, or they spend more time with them, or their kids are doing, you know, better in school or have nicer things. And it's really hard for a parent to step back and go, or, you know, you feel like you're short-tempered with them, or you didn't do everything you could have done. And you have to really say out loud, I think, I am doing a good job. Mm-hmm. And I talked to a mom the other day, and she wouldn't say it. She's a good friend of mine, and I said, you're doing a good job. You have to believe that. I watched you, and I know you're doing a good job. Absolutely. So you're all doing a good job.
Everybody.
Very much so, yes.
Let's have some potato chips in a minute. You're listening to the Patty Baskett Show with Andrea Darlis. We're hanging out with Daryl Jones. He's the general manager from Chill Chicago over at 222 West Kinsey. You can go to chillchicago.com. Representative Jaime Andrade also joins us in studio. And where can people follow you? I know you have a Facebook page where people can check in with what you're doing in the neighborhood.
I do. I have a state one that's called Illinois 40th District. And I have just my other one. This is just my name, Jaime Andrade, Illinois 40th District.
All right. Really important to check in with your legislators, know who they are, find out what they're doing, because that's how you stay informed. By the way, our friend, firefighter Todd Chuchuk, asks about when he's falling asleep. What about falling asleep to music, like 80s rock or country?
I love 80s rock. Me I too. Love a lot of country, but those are big storytelling songs.
So that's, especially the 80s ballads.
Yeah, all right.
Maybe there's a ballad about ketchup potato chips. 312-981-7200. I told Esmeralda to come on in and try some of these chips, too. Maybe we'll get engineer Adam in here. And I know Tom's going to want to try some of these. More in a moment on 720 WGN. So yesterday, Lay's Potato Chips came out with their Tastes of America. Here, Andre, I'm going to pass those around. Representative Andrade is going to come and grab these for you and for, there you go. Those are the ketchup ones. I think that he got his over there. Okay. So these are ketchup.
Ketchup potato chips. Now, I have to tell you, I'm not a huge ketchup fan.
Mm-hmm. Nor am I.
Except for fries.
Yes.
An occasional French fry.
These are just flat fries.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which makes sense. But then how is a seasoning of, you know, ketchup supposed to go on a fry? Let me give one to Esmeralda as well. Esmeralda's going in studio. Come grab a microphone.
Okay, so, these are really good.
Are they really good?
They're actually kind of decent. Mm-hmm. I'm a chip freak.
Your face is like happy.
I mean, I'm in a little zone right now.
All right, here, Esmeralda, here's the ketchup chips.
When I used to live on the west side of Chicago, people would just put hot sauce and ketchup on their chips, and this reminds me a little bit.
That's what I do. I like ketchup on my... mm-hmm. You know what my mom likes? And it was so funny when I got older to see it as a flavoring, and I don't know, Jaime, if your family does this, my mom would put lemon juice or lime on her potato chips, mm-hmm. and then, of course, that became a flavor with a lot of the potato chip companies. Adam, you're welcome to come grab some chips as well. You too, Tom. I've got...
It almost feels like the ketchup is going down. After it takes a little...
If it
almost feels like
if you're
afterwards,
a ketchup lover, you'll like these. Okay. Because I'm not a huge ketchup lover, and I think these are really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really?
I almost feel like there is real ketchup on it.
I know.
if you like flavored chips.
Let me give you your mic.
I'm testing them.
Yes. Yeah. She's working on the taste buds.
Yes.
Cleansing the palate.
I don't taste ketchup.
You don't?
No, not like straight up ketchup. Is it supposed to be a brand or just ketchup?
I think you need to just ketchup. Bite it and it's then come back afterwards. It kicks in a little bit afterwards.
It's just generic ketchup.
Generic ketchup. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me give you...
Because I think Heinz, and that's not Heinz. Heinz is a little more tart.
Yeah, it's a little tangy.
This is tangy and sweet.
It's like high-end ketchup.
Here, okay. Andre, here's the pizza. Giordano's pizza flavored.
All right. Yeah, this is a little scary to
pizza
me.
Pizza flavored.
Yeah. I know, because like one year they had... Didn't they have last year the... the gravy and biscuits.
Oh, I didn't mind that one.
They had a Yeetos one, too.
They did have a Yeetos one. Here's
I
pizza.
Heard that one was not good.
Yeah. And you know what? It wasn't,
it tastes
like,
a little funky.
It's Yeetos. It has to be
because it was Greek town.
Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. right? A little tzatziki on there.
Yeah, they had a California one, too. I forgot what it was.
Did everyone get pizza? I didn't get your pizza ones?
One more
first. I do that.
Ketchup pizza?
It smells like pizza.
It does smell like pizza.
Yeah, but pizza shouldn't be a chip. Oh, she's got a plate.
Yeah.
Let me hear. I'll take that plate for your jalapeno popper.
Is it just cheese pizza?
It's supposed to be just, yes, deep.
It's kind of weird.
And not just cheese pizza, deep dish pizza from Giordano's.
I mean, oh, it totally tastes like pizza.
No, it doesn't. It's a potato chip that wants to be a pizza.
No,
but it's got that, like, the sauce and
I actually agree with
cheese
Andrea.
Flavor.
It tastes like pizza?
It has it a does. Cheese.
I was going to say
it
cheese.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. It's weird to me
it
out.
It totally does.
Mm-hmm.
So if you close your eyes, you would feel like you're eating a pizza.
Yes.
Not, yeah.
Oh, I
a crunchy
that's
pizza.
Weird.
Mm. Not,
it's weirding me out.
Do you taste the elements of cheese and everything else?
I do.
And a little oregano, too, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was just going to be tomato sauce.
It actually literally tastes
and
like Giordano's pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get out of here.
Yes, when you bite them, even the soft sausage.
Yeah, I like Giordano's, yeah.
Somehow they get the, like, the
are you reading
toasty,
the ingredients list?
I almost feel like I'm eating that crust.
It does say cheddar cheese with milk, cheese cultures, salt, and enzymes. And then, of course, something called maldoxetrin. I know that is.
My wife is a holistic physician, and if she knew, I'm glad she's asleep right now. If she knew what I was eating, she'd be like, oh, Daryl, what are you doing?
Yes, but to be fair, you're eating very small amounts.
Yes.
You're eating pizza.
This you're is just partaking in the
yes.
show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm being mindful.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You're being mindful. This one's
good. This is not good for my gastric bypass.
It's also really good.
You and I will go for a run tomorrow. We'll do that. See, and I don't know why the... these are like the ruffle kind. Oh, look, you just got very excited.
I love those.
Ooh, I like really, ruffles.
Yeah.
It's a thicker chip. So these are supposed to be the bacon-wrapped jalapeno popper. And the thing is, with the Lay's chips, they're not doing all the flavors all over the country. They're only doing them regionally. Like, we don't get to have the crab cakes.
Mm-hmm.
There's crab cakes.
Thank
there's lobster roll.
Oh, is that like a Ooh. East Coast thing?
Yeah, they're just the
Ooh,
East Coast.
Old Bay?
And cheese pimento. Yes, with Old Bay, exactly, with the seasoning. So here you go, pass
now,
that.
Now, which one is this?
This is the bacon-wrapper jalapeno popper.
Oh yummy. God, just the thought of it.
It's funny. You guys are cracking me up.
Now, you know, you can do... One of my favorite meditations is actually using chocolate.
Oh!
So you, I thought that might get us...
Now, how much do you eat?
With little Reese's in there.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Mindful eating is an actual practice of, like, taking a moment and allowing flavors to land on your tongue. So you would put the chip in your mouth and not chew it.
Right.
And just let it dissolve a little bit and notice the nuances of the flavor that's
there. I can 100% see that. Once I had the gastric bypass, I had a meeting with the psychologist afterwards. I said, I'm a little depressed. He says, why? Because I'm starting to lose. I didn't realize how much joy
food brought
me and taste, and I'm not eating as much. My wife says I've become a little angry. Not angry, but a little more. She goes, you want your chubby little husband back.
I will be honest. When I saw you at an event a few months ago, you came up and you were talking to me. I'm like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Patty Vasquez. I was thrown off.
Yeah. The security guard stopped me. They didn't let me go on the house floor.
Really?
Yeah. They said, sir, you're not allowed here. I said, why? I won my election. And they're like, who? I said, it's me, Jamie. He goes, no, it's half of you.
Oh, wow.
He said he did not recognize you.
Okay, I think the bacon jalapeno popper is the worst one of the bunch.
I don't like it.
They're so good.
It tastes like sour cream and
I
onion.
Know.
It tastes like chemicals.
Yeah, but that's it.
I know, you're right. I don't know why I like them so much.
You guys are so funny.
They taste like fake bacon. Bacon bits.
Bacon bits.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
They do.
I don't like it.
I'm not a fan.
I'm digging the pizza one, though.
So I'll eat them.
I feel like all of you guys really like the ketchup one.
Yeah.
And also and the pizza one.
I'd say
the
pizza one.
I really, really thought I was eating that pizza.
Pizza one. I'm going to put this as two. I know. It's underwhelming for you guys, but wow.
We'll give them all to you.
Okay.
You can have them
I
all.
Do like these.
You know they do in Canada. They have all dressing chips.
Oh, they do?
And it's kind of like ketchup.
Like French Thousand Island?
I think it's called all dressing, but it's like a ketchup-based thing.
Okay. Well, and here, the one we're not getting in Chicago is cheese pimento.
See, I would like that one.
That would be delicious.
We're not getting that one?
Pimento cheese is for the Southeast region.
Yeah, it's pretty, I did it in Atlanta, a pimento cheese sandwich.
Yeah, they put it on everything from chips and crackers to burgers and grilled cheese. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, they put it on everything down there. Chesapeake Bay crab spice, as we mentioned.
I love that.
And that's supposed to be one of the best ones. New England lobster roll will only be available on the East Coast. Oh, this one will be in the Midwest, but I did not see it, which is fried pickles with ranch.
I haven't tried that.
You and me.
It sounds so good.
I love fried pickles.
What is wrong with me? I like every single one of these. Everyone, there's not been one that I don't think I would like.
Ours is the deep dish pizza. The Thai sweet chili is going to be available. Mm.
That could be good.
That one, I believe, it doesn't say what region. Oh, from the Pacific Northwest, so not for us. Chili con queso is going to be available in Southern California. Cajun spice in the Central Gulf. And that apparently is the best one of the bunch, according to the taste testers. Yes.
What about Chicago-style hot dog?
Ooh.
That'd so pickle, little celery salt.
Yes, the celery salt, little relish.
No ketchup.
No ketchup.
That's right. Exactly, yeah.
I bet you they're working on that one. Chicago-style dog.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. That would be very good. So you guys like all of them except for the jalapeno, the bacon-wrapped jalapeno peppers popper.
I liked them.
I would say I don't like any...
I would eat it if you put it in front of me.
If I was to call one of them my jam, it would be ketchup.
Ketchup is your jam?
You like the ketchup. Yeah, okay.
I think so, too. I like the tanginess of that one.
Yeah.
I think that the pizza one's got a lot going on.
Pizza's my jam.
Yeah. I'd go with pizza.
I really taste the crust.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm eating those days are a little over, but it brought back a lot of memories.
Tastes exactly. So you could eat these. Moment.
Yeah, I could.
You could eat these.
I could eat like
pizza.
Two or three chips.
Am I getting you in trouble with the chips? I feel like I'm getting everybody in trouble.
And you're so funny because you have a little dinner party going on over there. Coffee, chips, water, a thermos. I don't even know what's in there.
Yeah.
Daryl, we do it classy for everybody's first time on the show. We give them tiny plates of potato chips. Okay. Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Patty Baskett Show with Andrea Darlis. Well, there you go. Those are some of the flavors that the people at CVS, the girl, I actually offered the woman at the CVS because she's like, oh, those are the new flavors. And I said, yeah, you want to try some? She goes, I don't touch those things. But you sell them.
But good luck with that.
Well, I want to thank our guests for joining us in studio tonight. Daryl, how can people find out more about Chill Chicago?
Yeah, they go to chillchicago.com. We're on Facebook, and we are also on Instagram. We're open 7 days a week, and we have meditation classes happening all the time along with chair and table massage to help you chill.
Oh, nice. I know.
And our tagline is, it's good for you.
It's good for you.
So do it.
What kind of space, how would you describe the space that you guys have over on Kinsey?
It's 4,000 square feet.
Whoa.
So it's a large studio. Mm-hmm. We have a larger studio that can sit upwards of 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
We have a smaller studio where we work with some smaller clients like corporations and businesses if they want to bring a team in and do some team work on how mindfulness and meditation can help them in the workplace. We also do chair massage and table massage every day. So we have a small area and we call it no need to get naked massage. So the area where we are, people are on the go all the time.
Yeah.
So you can still get a full 60-minute table massage, but you're clothed the whole time. And obviously, I'm a little biased because I work there, but I have had the hands of all of our massage therapists on me, and they are magnificent.
Excellent. And don't forget, everyone, tomorrow before you put that hand on the doorknob, take 3 breaths before you leave the house.
Yes.
3 breaths.
Absolutely.
And Representative Andrade, how can people get more involved regardless of where they live? And if they know something in their community that they think should be better, how do you encourage people to get involved?
First of all, I think they actually need to go and know who their state rep and their alderman is. Most people don't, especially in the city of Chicago, no one knows who their state rep is.
I know.
And I
didn't either. Before I started going down there in 2015, I didn't necessarily
In the city
know.
Of Chicago, the state rep doesn't exist. I think the only reason why people know who I am is because I'm out cleaning bird poop.
Right. Power washing, or working
on projects. But I think the best way to get involved is just call them and go to their office.
Yeah.
And that's why on my website, I actually have my cell number. And people are thrown off when they call me. They think it's an office number. They're ready to yell at me. I said, hi, this is Jamie. And they're like, who? I said, Jamie, your state rep. And they're thrown off. And I said, here's my cell number. You can always call me. And I think that's... know your state rep and just talk to your elected officials. Talk to them.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're a faceless voter that may or may not show up on election day. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And I want to thank our guests for joining us in studio. We'll see you again soon. I know that we're going to need both of you again.
Thank you.
And not just to eat potato chips. Whatever. Right. We'll do chocolate. Other meditating things. With chocolate. We have to do a meditating with chocolate session.
Yes. I love that idea.
Yeah. Let's go do that. More in a moment on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea, do you work out like at any, some of the big chain fitness places?
I never, ever have.
Never, ever have?
Ever.
Like never even tried out free class, mm-hmm. 1 week free membership? Really?
Never. Isn't it strange? I know. I actually, years ago, Steve Bertrand joined the Lakeshore Athletic Club and had, I think, a week free pass. And mm-hmm. I went one time. It was so long ago, I don't remember going more than once, but I've always worked out either, like I've been fortunate enough to have a gym in the buildings where I've lived in the condo buildings.
Okay.
So I'll either go there or where we were at Tribune. Hmm. There was like a little Tribune fitness center. And
That was a cool fitness center.
Yeah. And now I bike or I walk mm-hmm. or I do something outside, and then I have an elliptical in the wintertime.
So you've never been to, like, when I was a kid, my mom had a membership at Bally's.
My mom had Women's Workout World. Yes, remember that place?
I actually was training to be an aerobic instructor at the one in Lincoln Square. Get right out. There on Lawrence and Western. The classes were at 6 a.m. though. And I was like, that's not going to happen. Tom, have you ever been ever worked out like at a Planet Fitness or X Fitness,
Orange Theory,
any of those places?
Well, I've been near one on my way to like Giordano's or something. Yeah. I was just like, oh, that'd be interesting, and then I get a pizza to myself.
Right. You know, and then, extra large.
But never worked out like one of these big box, like Lifetime Fitness or any of those?
No, I prefer to school kids on the b-ball court.
Oh, there you go.
There he is, yeah.
That's some good cardio right there. I've not been to a Planet Fitness, but I've seen a lot of them opening up. And apparently they have some slogans. I don't know if they have this sort of throughout the gym, but it basically says no judgment. And a patron of... I think it's called a judgment-free zone is what they have these slogans. So a guy decided to partake in one of the yoga classes, and he took all of his clothes off and felt that that was part of the no judgment zone, that they should not have been judging him for taking all of his clothes off. And I love the title of this piece. It's a downward facing no.
Yeah, I bet. He is a dog.
But he started doing yoga completely naked because he said that it was a judgment-free zone. He should be able to do yoga that should include, and judgment-free means not looking at somebody and judging the way they look.
You know, I get that, but yep. I still, just my opinion, I don't think I want to see that.
No.
Sweatiness going on.
And there are, like, I have a friend who teaches nude yoga classes in Los Angeles.
Yeah, they have, though. That's a thing.
I couldn't do it.
I couldn't either.
I don't need to.
I couldn't.
A lot happens when you're doing yoga. You relax and your body expels perhaps some air. Okay. As it is.
Ah, okay. Right. More than just sweat. I thought you were going to say sweat.
No, you get a little gassy. Mm-hmm. You get a little. You never been to an intense yoga class?
I've never been to a yoga class.
And there's no judgment. So he's right. There isn't any judgment as far as that goes. But yeah, for the most part, unless they advertise or promote the class as a nude yoga class, do not take the vague judgment-free zone as an invitation to go au naturel.
To be right.
It's not what that is intended to be.
Just don't want to see it.
No.
I don't, you know.
Well, I have a tough time.
Be more specific, you know? And judgment-free zone,
right?
Except when you're naked.
Except for nudity.
Except for nudity.
Do you think that he went there thinking, ha-ha, they got that sign that says judgment-free zone.
Yes.
I'm going to go.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Oh,
he had planned out.
Oh, sure he did.
Didn't care if he was going to get arrested for indecent exposure. Some people just really enjoy it, but there are places for that. There are designated areas where everybody is going to enjoy themselves and be naked. I don't know that I could ever go. I know there's a place nearby that has like a nudist colony. I can't.
No.
You know what we did a few times? Friends of mine, we went to the King Spa. Have you ever heard of King Spa?
I have heard of this only, I've not been,
yes.
But I have heard of this because mm-hmm. a friend of mine texted and said, I'm going to treat myself and I'm going to go to the King Spa. I had no idea. I had to look it up. And I know it's up north, neck of the woods.
Yes, it's up in Niles on...
By the Home Depot.
Waukegan Road, yes.
Yeah.
It's on Waukegan and right by the Home Depot, and there's a Japanese market right there. And in the back is a King Spa. And when you go in there, it's this entirely different world.
Is this a chain? Or is yes, this just
I think there are three of them in the country. They're not. I think that's the only one in Chicagoland area.
Okay, so walk me through this.
So there is a male and female side to King Spa. And when you go in, if you want to go into some of the soaking tubs, there's a cold one. So after you've done like the hot, you know, mineral water.
Is this a communal
ones,
pool?
Just the women.
Okay.
On one side. So just women. So when you're doing the spa part of it with the bathing and the, let me put it this way. It's aggressive nudity.
I feel the need to hold my Purell. While we talk about these,
they
communal...
are constantly cleaning the place.
Okay,
I assure you, Andrea, Esmeralda and I went together. Aren't they?
Yeah. It's, you went to the King Spa.
We went. A bunch of us went together.
Yeah. No. Okay.
Yes. So being together naked is. I think we did a very good job.
It was
a
bonding experience. We all looked at each other in the eyes.
Here's the thing. Yes. Not that I wouldn't want to see any of you naked. I just don't want you guys to see me naked. I don't want to be like, oh my god, you know, my thighs, my belly, whatever it might be, I would be more embarrassed for you guys seeing me.
You know what's crazy though? Everyone, a lot of older women go there.
Yes.
So you feel so much better.
There's such a range. Well, and there are sometimes when
there's
I go
a lot on, of grandmas.
Do you have to be naked?
In that area with the water and the shop. Yeah. Okay. And as have you been there when it's been busier? Because we typically have gone at night.
Oh. I don't want to go when it's busy.
It's an experience.
Yeah, I don't want to go when it's busy. I like going in the very early morning hours. Mm-hmm. They've just cleaned it.
Yes.
And you pretty much have it all to yourself.
Yeah. It's
100. Wow, you guys. This is so I've never been to like a class with clothes. I haven't.
What? You go naked, Andrea?
I know.
She doesn't go to classes.
I don't go to classes. I've never been to like a public gym aside from, you know, the ones at work or in my building.
Okay.
Yeah. So King Spa has, they have several like hot tub areas, and they have a cooling tub, and then they have a sauna, and that's all naked there. And then, so I thought, I saw the sign for massages, and I thought, well, I could really use a massage, not knowing what the process was. Andrea, there by the bathing area, there is this wall, and there are a line of tables. So you are really not comfortable.
No,
with
what
this.
Do you know? What do you do on the table?
You get massaged naked in front of everybody else. And this was an hour and a half scrub. I had signed up for a 90-minute massage and scrub,
right?
And it was hostile.
Yeah, see, that was the thing. The scrub.
Are you face down? I think I do better face down.
Face down, face up. Oh. She's like, no, Andrea, there's a point where, and the women who do the massages are in bikinis or in their panties and underwear. They're in black. They're all in black.
Okay.
Panty, like top and bottoms. And there was a moment where I'm on my belly and she's aggressively massaging me. And I suddenly realize, I go, oh my God, she's on top of me.
No.
Yeah, she had like her knee and was like had an elbow and a knee, and there was a point where she gets off the table and flips me over and like props one foot up into my thigh, so she's like getting up into the groin, like,
whoa.
nothing more aggressive than that, but I had to go do it again because I was like, okay, I need to be now that I know what's involved. Right. Let me see if I'm okay
now
with
that
it.
You open your eyes, but you're like, whoa.
But you come out smooth as a baby's bottom, right?
I've never been. I was so like every muscle in my body, and
felt
I was
good.
And I and the scrub, it was incredibly exfoliating, and I felt really good. Now, but you can get a massage in a private room, and they have a sheet on you.
Okay, so, that I think I'd prefer.
Yes, so they keep the sheet on you the entire time, and that's in another room. And there's a communal area, so you are given clothes to wear at the spa. So in the area where men and women are together, you are given pink, like, scrubs, like shorts and a shirt.
Okay.
And the men are given, what color do they get? Is it gray? As?
Is it? It's not blue, or maybe it is gray. I think it is gray.
I think it's gray.
Wow! At that point, I'd be like, just give me any color.
But the food they have there is incredible.
Oh, they have food there too.
Yes,
great Korean food.
Oh yeah,
like appetizers,
everything, udon.
Yeah, it's a little. It's like a little cafeteria.
So good.
So do you go? Is this like a whole day kind of a thing?
Here's the other thing. You can stay there. They told me that the longest anybody has stayed there was 3 days. You keep paying for every 24 hours, you have to keep pay again.
Okay.
And so, yeah. So this guy had been there for like 3 days.
Which, in my head, if you don't want to spend money on a hotel and maybe you're
in the area,
a commuter,
mm-hmm.
You can go in there, a nice little soak. There's places to sleep. You got some lovely Korean food. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's also a big movie room with a bunch of recliners, mm-hmm. and they're constantly showing movies all day long.
This sounds like a commune.
It is a little bit like, we haven't even told her about the rooms where you have, there's like a charcoal room, there's a gold room, there's a hot,
it's dry heat.
Dry heat room, there's a cold salt room. Yeah.
And you can spend the whole day. This part sounds really cool to me.
Yes.
I would do that. The only problem I would have would be like the public nudity.
Yeah, you don't have, you don't have to do any, you don't have to go into the bathing areas. You can just get changed. You can do that privately. There's bathrooms. So if you wanted to go change in a stall, you could do that, put on your scrubs and go do the communal area.
I'm even intrigued by the massage.
Yeah, the massages are really good.
I've been wanting to do that.
Yeah, they're really,
because
really good.
If you get all smoothed out, mm-hmm. Yeah, and you just come out fresh like a baby seal.
Off the air, I'll tell Andrea about the spritzing you can do as well.
Oh yeah, the steam.
I don't know if I can explain that.
The special, I am kind of liking this.
The
yeah.
special steam. Maybe we'll talk about it on the air when we come back.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's supposed to be the something good. Anyway, we'll think.
I'm
about
googling
it.
This right now.
More after this on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Tell me something good when we come back, because then we're turning the reins over to Nick D. More in a moment.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah.
We have a message from the 301. This is something good to Team Vasquez. Thanks for another great show, and thanks for helping this insomniac get through another night. I wish all of you a wonderful day. Right back at you, 301. The 224, yes, that's the sort of steaming that I was alluding to at King Spa. Gwyneth Paltrow promotes that type of steaming. I think it's absolutely nuts. And maybe, and there are some studies that there, you know, when Gwyneth Paltrow, what's her website, Goop?
Yes, I think it is Goop.
Which now sounds weird to tell you what the next thing was. But she had done something, talked about how steaming your lady bits. Ooh, I got
there
it.
There you go.
There it is. Thank you. I knew I'd find the appropriate way to put that.
Way to put it, yeah.
So it's supposed to be purifying or healthy or detoxifying something.
I could see how it might be.
Depending on what you use.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want, would you use like a mentholated sort of a thing, or would you want something a little more herbal?
Oh, man. Ease me into this, because, you know, I still have a problem just naked swimming with everybody.
Well, the way they do it, my understanding at King Spa is you sort of sit, and it's private. This part is private, where you sit on some sort of steaming device, and you have
and then
that
you go
exposed.
In the pool or after.
I haven't done it, so I don't know what the process is. And Tom's trying really hard to produce the show and not listen to it
Tom's
at the
like,
same
thank
time.
God, I'm off tomorrow. He's like, thank God Michael's back.
Listen, you know, this is important stuff to know. I'm taking notes.
There you
know,
go.
If I get someone a gift card, be like, here, get your
there
cooter
you go.
Steamed.
Can we
say that? Yeah, we can definitely say you can get your cooter steamed. Yes. So this is there are some health articles out there about how let's face it. You know, you change throughout your life, and maybe you want to, I guess, cleanse. But other than offering a soothing warmth below, does it work, or is it even safe? So the way it's supposed to, and these are the types of herbs they use. This doesn't sound appealing. Mugwort.
Oh God.
Wormwood. Chamomile. That sounds soothing.
Yeah, that sounds soothing.
That sounds better. Calendula. Calendula.
Calendula.
Am I saying
flower,
that right?
Right.
I think so. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Thank God it's not like, you know, jalapeno or something.
Oh, basil. My gosh.
Basil and oregano are the next two.
Okay, no, I don't want to.
Making stock? What's going on?
What's happening?
Making pizza.
Most spas have a special seat. Gwyneth Paltrow calls it the throne.
Ah.
With an opening for the steam to come through. This can be challenging to do at home, I would imagine. How would you do it at home? There are ways, I guess, that you can do. Anyway, the average steam session lasts between 20 and 60 minutes, depending on how hot the water. The steam may lose some of the temperature. It's supposed to allegedly relieve stress, depression, other things, hormone imbalances, headaches, fatigue. How do you alleviate a headache from?
Oh, you know. Okay, I think I have an idea.
Okay. So maybe you just relax, and then
exactly,
you're not.
Exactly.
So you carry a lot of tension there.
Right.
Overdoing the Kegels.
I would, yeah, I think it's all connected.
I didn't mean to end the show this way.
No, I don't
mean.
But
sometimes it just happens, doesn't it, Tom? When it's
like, and now for women's health.
Tom's like, oh my God, three more minutes.
Do you want me to see if they also do this for men bits?
Sure. I mean, I just have some baby powder.
I bet it wouldn't be possible.
Hold on.
Oh, I bet it would.
It doesn't come up automatically when it doesn't autofill in Google search.
So that means it doesn't exist.
Images, Tom.
Where's the beauty treatment for men's junk?
Do you know there's a man spa? I don't know if they still have it. It's nothing like, I don't think it's anything like this. 900 North. It's in the Bloomingdale's building.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, you know, where the guys can get the hot towel and the shave.
Ooh, right.
Remember, like, the razor blades, how they used to do it at the barbershop?
Like a leather strap?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, how they, like, sharpen the blade.
Ooh. Have you ever done one of those, Tom? Like the old-fashioned?
You know, I like to get close with death, but not that close. Mm. That's, there's just something about it. Like, when I get my haircut, they'll do it on the back of the neck,
right,
which I'm totally okay with because there's not that, you know, that many vital things. But once it gets close to the jugular, I just start to panic.
Fair enough. So having Googled whether or not steaming the man part is encouraged, there doesn't seem to be really any as much literature out there as there is for lady bits.
Now that steaming. Elon Musk isn't working on the whole cave thing, you know, this is his next project.
Oh, my God.
Steer clear of the steam room. Frequent sauna use isn't great anyway for your man bits.
For any bits?
No, they're bits.
Okay.
I'm learning so much.
I think this is going to be a promo, isn't it?
I think it's safe to say testicles at this time of the evening.
I think so.
Yeah. All right, then.
Science.
There you go.
So, you know, let's see. My something good is that Declan came through his surgery very well today.
All right.
It's part one of two surgeries he has to have done today because he has to have surgery on his spine next at the end of August. They wanted to do a sedated MRI to get some imaging of what kind of, you know, they want to plot out where everything's going to go. And because they were already sedating him, they had to, because he's not able to do dental work, he won't sit in the chair, and they can't really do x-rays as well as they would like to. They x-rayed his teeth and realized that he had seven impacted teeth.
Oh, wow.
And the baby teeth were not coming, because his teeth don't, like, because grow. Of his disorder. He has a hypoplasia of the corpus callosum. When your brain doesn't fully develop, it often affects different parts of your body. So his teeth, his baby teeth were not coming out. He's 13 years old and they hadn't come out yet. So they had to remove seven teeth. He came out very well. Thank you to everybody who sent us some great wishes. Before we go, I don't want to leave. Do you have something good for
my
us?
My something good was having the discussion that we just had. You guys opened my eyes to this whole king spa.
Sorry
about
that.
I might even consider that doing that with you guys.
Well, thank
you. At some point. So thank you both.
We'll go with the communal area. And by the way, thank you, Ken, for enjoying the show tonight. He says, great show.